Tonight is the second part in our series of these God Talks, and for those who weren't here the first time, the title was taken from the concept of the TED Talks, and even though we're not doing it as short in terms of the 14 to 20 minute talks that we have, I just thought it was a nice rubric and a nice theme to have a series. And so tonight we're looking at the instruction, which really comes from Mishlei, but it's a mitzvah nonetheless, of Kabed Es Hashem Me Honecha, to honor Hashem from your substance. And that, the full pasuk, finishes with Umereshis Kol Tevuasecha. So you have to honor God from your substance and from the first of all your grain. So what we're going to be doing tonight is essentially answering three questions. What does it mean when the pasuk says, honor Hashem from honecha? What does your substance mean? What is the significance of reishis kol tevuasecha, the first of your produce, your grains? And in general, what does it mean to honor? Okay, so let's look at the first question, which is, what does mehonecha mean? So I think that when we look at the word mehonecha, which is translated to mean from your substance, that we have to look about everything about me, everything about each of us, that can be used to honor God. What about tevua? What if I don't have a farm? What if I don't produce produce? So what does tevua mean? So I think it means that anything that I produce, and for most of us, that would refer more to either ideas or knowledge, or just the income which I get out of the things which I produce. Perhaps it comes from the things which I own. And finally, what is kavod? What does it mean to honor? So there's a tremendous theme in all of the works of Chazal and of the Torah Shebaal Peh that addresses how we understand what kavod is. We can learn how to give kavod to Hashem, how to give honor to Hashem from the other kinds of kavod that we are familiar with. The main kinds of kavod that we are most familiar with, well, there's a very well-known mitzvah of kabed es avicha v'esimecha, to honor our parents, which comes from where? The aseres hadibros. Is there anything else which is honored? There's something which we honor every week, and that is kavod Shabbos, correct. The honoring of Shabbos. Now, when we look at the aseres hadibros, by the way, in the Ten Commandments, you'll note that Shabbos is right next to Kibud Avaim. There's another pasuk in the Torah in which they're right next to each other in Parshas Kedoshim, when the pasuk says, Ish imo v'aviv tira'u, that a person needs to revere their father and mother, v'eshabsosai tishmoru, and you have to keep Shabbos, ani Hashem Elokeichem. And so, there is a throughout the works of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Oral Torah, we find that there is an underlying connection between all three, between the honoring of God, the honoring of parents, and the honoring of Shabbos. Just to take a very brief side note, there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph, Mid Aleph 31a, which says the following: B'Shas Hamar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Anochi V'lo Yelecha Amru Umos HaOlam. When God said the first of the two commandments in the Aseres Hadibros, that I am Hashem your God, and you should not have any other gods before me, the nations of the world said, L'chavod atzmo hu doresh. Ah, this God is arrogant. He's talking about himself all the time. Kevin she'amar kabed es avicha v'esimecha. But when God gave the instruction to honor your father and your mother, chazru v'hodu l'ma'amaros harishonos, they said, oh, you know what? It's not all about God. Clearly, God is aware. I mean, obviously God is aware, but God is reminding us that we have to honor our parents, because without them, we would not exist. So it's from the connection of between Shabbos and Kibud Av Va'im that we are told in the Gemara in Yevamos, Yechol Yehei Kibud Va'im, Kibud Av Va'im Docha Shabbos, Talmud Lomar Ish Aviv Ish Imo V'Aviv Tiro. Maybe we would think that the honoring of one's parents would preclude Shabbos, it would get in the way. In other words, if your parents tell you, for example, disregard the Shabbos, so the answer is no, we don't do that, because Ishimo V'Aviv Tiro, you have to revere your parents, V'es Shabbos Osai Tishmoru, and you also have to keep Shabbos. And the Gemara concludes, which says, Kulchem Chayavim bichvodi, that all of you, you, your parents, you're all required to keep the Shabbos, and therefore that is translated to a form of honoring God. The Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi is a super commentary on Rashi. In the Chumash, he tells us that these three things are connected. And the Maharal, his Gur Aryeh, Maharal also has a very heavy and intense commentary on Rashi. He says the following. He says, you're all obligated to honor me. Atav Avicha Chayavin Bichvodo, Lekach Yesh Lekabdo Ulekayem HaShabbos. How do you honor God? First and foremost, both you and your parents, you honor God through keeping Shabbos. Shezehu kvodo l'kayim Shabbos. That is the definition of honoring God. The definition of honoring God is keeping Shabbos. And how is that honoring God? Because people who keep Shabbos, that's hameid al shehu bara ha'olam. We honor God through testifying that God created the world. The classic way of doing so is through honoring the Shabbos. When you say that God created the world, therefore he rested on the seventh day, I'm going to imitate God through resting on the seventh day. That is how we honor God. We can learn from other areas of kibud of parents, how we are to honor God, and the kibud of Shabbos, how we are to honor God. The Rambam in the Laws of Shabbos, chapter 30, he gives us a whole list of how we go about honoring the Shabbos, and his list essentially are things that we do in order to prepare for Shabbos. So I mean, these are things which we're all familiar with. One of them, we wash up before Shabbos. He says we wear tzitzis before Shabbos. We sit and humble ourselves before Shabbos because we're about to greet the king. We wear clean clothing. We don't eat too much before Shabbos because then we can't honor Shabbos properly through having the right meal that we're supposed to have. We set our table before Shabbos. We set our table for after Shabbos in order to honor God through the entrance of Shabbos and through when Shabbos ends. We clean our house while it's still daytime. We make sure our candles are lit before Shabbos. We set our table before Shabbos. We make the bed before Shabbos. And nobody is above this. Nobody is above preparing for Shabbos. Even somebody who is not normally one who might go out to the store or might go out to the market, who might do errands, this person goes out in advance of Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. In other words, preparing for Shabbos is something which we put a lot of time into. And this preparation is how we honor Shabbos, and therefore, through how we honor God. So the key word that we take away from this is that the way in which we honor Hashem is through preparing to honor Hashem. And that requires a thought process. That requires an awareness of what is it that I'm trying to do. How does that impact, how does that influence the many choices that I make in my life in terms of how I relate to God, and therefore honor him most properly. One of the ways that the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that we're supposed to honor our parents is through being willing to lose money if it were to, in other words, to use our money in order to honor our parents. But the Gemara gives a very extreme example. How do you honor your parents? The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, that if your parent is carrying a wallet or a pouch that has a lot of money in it, and let's say you're on a boat together, or on a pier, or on a bridge, and the parent throws it into the water, pretty crazy thing to do, right? So you don't get upset. Even if that was part of your Yerusha, your inheritance, honoring your parents means being willing to deal with certain idiosyncrasies and not letting it get the better of you. That's what it means to honor your parents. So, I mean, that if you think about it, that helps us tremendously when it comes to what it means to honor God. We all have questions. We all have challenges. We all sometimes have problems with the things that we perceive as coming from God. And if we imagine that everything that we see comes from God, that this is God's plan, so when we have a question, what do? Do we throw God out? Do we get rid of our parents? Do we say, no, I'm done with this relationship? And the answer is, no, I have questions, I have difficulty, but I don't disregard my God. How far does a person have to go to honor one's parents? So the Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Peah, and there's a lot of discussion on this in Maseches Peah as well, as we know from the passage which we say at the beginning of Davening, that one of the one of the mitzvahs which has no end is kibud av ha'im. So there, the passage, in the, especially in the Yerushalmi, because that's where there isn't any Bavli on Peah, but the Yerushalmi goes into great detail about how we go about honoring our parents, and therefore how we go about honoring God. And there it says that how far does a person have to go in terms of honoring one's parents? You have to be able to feed your parents, you have to give to drink to your parents, you have to dress your parents, you have to help your parents put their shoes on, you have to bring them out, you have to bring them back in. Even perhaps, as I know a number of people in the shul have done, those who have elderly parents who have moved to be near their parents in order to honor them. Now, it's not the same thing with God. We're not feeding God. We're not clothing God. We're not doing things for God in that kind of a way. But it is it's the credit that we get from kibud av ha'im, and it's the changing of the training of our mindset, which comes from how we go about honoring our parents, which is meant to inform how we do things for God. Kibud Hashem, honoring Hashem, is a mindset. That's really what it is. And the mindset comes from the training that we give to ourselves. And how do we do that? By doing things for God, much as we do for our parents. But God isn't a person. God isn't a living physical being. What does God really need? So it's not that God has needs. It's that God put us in the world because he has needs of us, of how we are to go about living our lives. For example, God needs for each of us to be a good person, to represent him well. In shul on Friday nights, well, we've been doing the laws of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah in the Rambam, the foundations of Torah. And this past Shabbos, actually, we were looking at the laws of Kiddush Hashem. What does it mean to sanctify God? And in the last halacha, in the fifth chapter, in Yisodei HaTorah, the Rambam tells us what the definition of bad behaviors, which bring about a Chil Hashem are. I don't want to speak so negatively, so we'll bring positive, and it gives the other side. He says, what does it mean to live a life of Kiddush Hashem? If he uses an example of a chacham, of a wise person, which could be a rabbinic kind of figure, but I think it really applies to anybody who is chacham einav barosho, somebody who's aware of the world around. What does it mean to sanctify God's name? The person is careful about themselves, they're punctilious about their behavior. And the way that they speak is diburo benachas imabrios. They speak kindly to other people. Da'ato murevas imahem. They have empathy for others. And they greet people with a smiling countenance. And they don't abandon people. They honor people, even those who are lesser than them, or even those who are negative towards them. They conduct business with trustworthiness, and they don't spend too much time wasted with things which are not important or frivolous. They spend time studying Torah. They spend time wearing their tzitzis. They make sure to wear their tefillin. And they do everything lifnim mishuras hadin, above the letter of the law. And he says, through this, what does the person get out of it? The person gets a stellar reputation in which others speak about the individual, and they say, who is this person who represents God in such a significant way? That's kibud Hashem, that's honoring God. If people create a reputation in which others look at them and say, oh, this is a Jewish person who represents God, what could be a greater form of honoring God than making a Kiddush Hashem? The theme of how we honor parents plays a significant role in how we honor God. If the nations of the world were correct in that passage which I began with, in that if honoring parents is ignored, that makes God arrogant, so then we have to understand how far our honoring of parents informs how we therefore honor God. I'm going to get back to that towards the end. The Gemara in Kiddushin says the following: "Bizman she'adam etzayres aviv esimo amar Kadosh Baruch Hu yafe asisi shelo darti beinehem." If a person pains their father and their mother, God says it's good that I don't live among them. In other words, I'm not in your corner. I'm not in your place because you haven't honored your parents properly. In other words, since you're not honoring those who created you, I'm not really going to be in your court. Now, why would that be the case? Because as the Gemara concludes, there are three partners in creation. Who are the three partners in creation? Mother, Father, and God. You have to honor all of them. It can't just be about parents. It can't just be about God. It has to be about all three partners in creation. And the Gemara continues there and says, Am Rabbi Yitzchak, lo over aver b'seser kilo dochek ragle shechina. He says, if a person goes ahead and does sins in private, this is a form of even in private, a person does it. Now, there are different ways of understanding what seser means, that a person can go around somebody else's back and harm them in a secretive kind of way. But he says, it's as if you're buckling out God's legs from under him. Okay, in other words, this is a form of dishonoring God through sinning even in private. Now, once we understand that that this is all about behavior which we sometimes learn from how we relate to our parents, but also behavior in which how we go about relating to God, then we recognize that there are two kinds of behavior in particular that demonstrate kavod of God. These are also mentioned in the Gemara Kiddushin. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that a person shouldn't walk around too ramrod straight. Walk around like this. If you walk around like this, what you're indicating is an arrogance, a kind of hubris above other people and even above God. I'm more important than fill in the blank. I'm more important than another person, or perhaps even I'm more important than God. Another example which Rav Huna brings is not to walk around four amos without a covering of the head. Now, it doesn't seem that Rav Huna is talking only about men. It doesn't seem that he's talking only about women. He's not talking about men or women. He's not talking about married versus not married. He's talking about the concept of wearing a head covering. And that's Giloy Harosh. I'm not even talking about hair. This is not what we're talking about here. But just to wear, and what's the point of the wearing of the covering of the head? To make an awareness that there's something above me. And that something above me, of course, is God. Another form of honoring God is through imitating God. Maseches Sofrim, in the name of Abba Shaul, says that how do we honor God? Through saying, Mahu rachum v'chanun afatar rachum v'chanun. God is merciful, God is compassionate. You too have to be merciful and compassionate. That is a way in which we honor God. It's a character trait. Again, honoring God is all about a mindset, and the mindset comes from kavana, from real intent, from real training. Another method through which we can honor God, and if you remember, we go back to the way that the pasuk in Mishlei talks about honoring God. It says you do it mehonecha, from your substance, and from your tivua, from your produce. So maybe we can make the argument that honoring God is done through how we use our money. That same passage in Sofrim says that a person, because of the pasuk of Ze Elivia and Behu, this is my God and I'm going to glorify him, that how do we honor God? We honor God through having a nice set of tzitzis, a beautiful mezuzah, a beautiful Sefer Torah, using wonderful ink, using a very nice quill, right? And all the other qualities of the Torah should be very, very pretty. This is Ze'eli Ve'anveyu. There are other ways in which we can do this. Not everybody's writing a Torah, not everybody's a scribe, not everybody's using a nice pen, but people do this in other ways as well. We're all familiar. Who has Shabbos finery? Who has beautiful Kiddush cups? Who has a nice Seder plate? Who has a silver menorah, or whatever it may be, an Esrog box? Whatever way in which we do something to help glorify a mitzvah, this is another form of honoring God. The Yerushalmi in Peah, on the phrase Kabedes Hashem Ehonecha from this pasuk in Mishlei, says, how do you honor God? You have to honor Mechabdo Mimashi Yichananecha. Think about the ways in which God graced your life. Think about the ways in which God gave you things. How can you go about using those things in order to honor God? And the examples which he gives are, if a person owns a field, you separate Leket, Shikcha, and Peah. These are different forms of giving to the needy from a field which I own. If a person owns a field and they live in Israel, they separate Truma and Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani and Chala. These are, again, different things which are portioned off of food, produce, things which we have in order to give it to the people who are more needy, whether it's the Kohen, whether it's the Levi, whether it's the pauper, whether it's the Ger, the stranger who joins the Jewish people who doesn't have property, for example, and who may not have a field. Looking out for those individuals. What else does he say? That in the performance of certain mitzvos, you make a beautiful sukkah, you make sure to get a nice lulav, you make sure to get a nice shofar, nice tefillin, nice tzitzis, and you take care of the poor. Ma'achil es ha'aniyim, feed the poor, ve'es ha're'ivim, and the hungry. Mashkeh es ha'tzmeyim, give drinks to the thirsty. He says, if you have, then you do it. If you don't have, then you're not required, because if you're in those categories of being the needy, then you don't have to do it in the same way as those who obviously have and therefore are able to give. So, mehonecha means from your money. Now, once we're talking about from your money, we go into a step further, which is how we go about giving tzedakah. There are three stories that I want to share with you. One is from the Yerushalmi on Peah, and the next two are from the Midrash Tanchuma on, I believe it's the pasuk of Kabed. No, actually, I'm not even sure which one this is on. Okay, anyway, so this is the first story. The story is about Munbaz HaMelech, the king Munbaz. This is what Yerushalmi tells us, that what he did was he took all of his property and he bizbez. He wasted it. How did he waste it? He gave it all to the poor. And people came over to him, some from his family and relatives of his. And they said to him, you know, your parents, your forefathers, your ancestors, they saved all the money which they had. They made investments and they built up wealth. And they did this. And you went ahead and you wasted it all because you gave it away. And so you know what Munbaz said? He said something so instructive. He says, Amar lahen, kol shekein, avosai ganzu ba'aretz, va'ani ganazti b'shamayim. He says, I don't care. You know why? Because they all made investments in this world, but my investment is b'shamayim, is heavenly, you know, or heavenwards. Because that's what tzedakah is. We view tzedakah as being something which is an investment. How is that honoring God? Because God gives us the instruction and says, look, there are people. There are in all kinds of life situations. Some of you are gifted. Some of you are on the short end of the receiving line. So what do? Well, those of you who've been given a gift, you have to be my messengers. You have to help those who are needy. That is honoring God by representing Him in taking care of God's children. The next two stories in the Midrash Tanchuma concern two different kinds of situations. The first one is about a fellow who had a lot of wine and a lot of oil. And the Midrash Tanchuma says that he did not give maaser. He didn't tithe. He didn't give anything to the poor. And it goes on to describe how he got some kind of madness in him. That he took a stick and he broke all of the jars and everything which he had. Spilled everything, wasted everything. And people came over to him and they said, what are you doing? And he started beating them. Just a crazy guy. Why, the Midrash says? Because he did not go about taking the tithes in the right way, and this is the way that God got it back. Now, I'm not going to make a causality and say this happens to anybody or everybody, but it's just it's an illustration of an awareness that we need to have of our responsibility towards others. This is a form of honoring God. If you honor God through doing the mitzvah of maaser, then good things can happen, as is evidenced by the next story. Rabbi Levi tells a story about a fellow who had a field. One field. And this person, Hotzi Masros of Karoi, the person brought their tithes in the manner that they were supposed to. And so the Rabbi Levi, in telling the story, says what God gave this person an intuition to divide half of their field into zera, into planting, and to producing whatever it was that they were trying to plant, and to divide the other half of their field into an area which could serve as a vat for water. And it got filled with water. And what ended up happening was there was a drought. And this individual, because of the way the person went about doing what he did, was able, as a result, during a small window of time in which there was a tremendous need, he was able to sell the produce which his field produced and the water which his field was storing to people at a higher price, and therefore was able to end up getting paid back for the miser, for the proper tithing, which he had set aside and in taking care of God's needy people. And that, I think, is the crossroads. So that's a literal example of how a person is honoring God through their tefuah, through their produce. But I think that's also a crossover into what it means to honor God through mehonecha, through our substance. There's a fantastic passage in the Pasik de Rabasi about how we honor God through giving back to Him. Okay, and this is just a tremendous perspective that I think we would all benefit from having. If we realize that everything that we have, every gift that we have in this world, comes from God, first and foremost, then any time we are required in any fashion to give something back, It's so obvious. I mean, can you imagine for a second? I'm going to see a passage in a moment, but can you imagine for a second? Right, all of us, if you have parents, and if your parents if you live through being raised by your, if your parents live through raising you, that's what I wanted to say. If your parents live through raising you, sometimes parents die young, unfortunately, and tragically. But if the parents raise the children to adulthood, the parents gave everything to their kids. If we have the opportunity to give them back, wouldn't that be appropriate? Wouldn't it be, I mean, just obvious that we should be doing that? That's what Kibud Av V'Aim was supposed to be. My parents gave me everything, I honor them, of course. Or I even give back to them. If they have nothing when they're in their older age, I support them, if I have the means to do so, of course. So this is what the Pesikta says. It's so, so mind-blowingly simple. But he says, Kaveres Hashem Ehonecha, Mimashech Hanenecha. Honor Hashem with your substance from that which God blessed you with. If God gave you a son, circumcise him. If God gave you a house, then put a mezuzah and a ma'akeh, a fence around it. If God gave you a courtyard, make sure you put a sukkah up in there. If God gave you sheep, then separate the firstborns for the mitzvah of the bechor of the sheep and take the first shearings and give them to God in the manner in which that's supposed to be done, whether it's to the Kohen, the Beis HaMikdash, etc. God gave you an animal, don't sin with the animals through plowing two different kinds of animals together, or through mating two separate animals together to create a new kind of breed. These are prohibitions in the Torah. You're given an animal, do the right thing with it. God gave you kesef, zahav, silver and gold, then do mitzvahs with them. What's the classic mitzvah? We've been talking about it already. Give tithes and make sure to share with those who are needy. The Ramban tells us that the mitzvah of Orla, you know what the mitzvah of Orla is? That the first 3 years of a tree, you're not allowed to use the fruit. You're not allowed to eat from the fruit, etc. Now, he says, what kind of mitzvah is this? It's obvious. You know that the first 3 years that a tree produces fruit, the fruit is useless. You can't really use it in most cases. So he says, okay, so what God gave us was a reminder. And the reminder is that if you can't use it properly, then there's no benefit for you to have. But in order for you to benefit from it, he says the following, "Kach namkin lechulam." We're going to wait for all these trees until they're ready, until the fourth year. Velonit omehem, and we're not going to taste from them, ad shenavim in haneta shenatanu kol piryo, until we have taken from what we planted and have given back to God from that which he gave us. Now, it might seem, I mean, it's obvious, you're not going to use the fruit anyway, but the concept of Orla and the mitzvah of Orla is to remind us that we have to give back first before we even use from it. So if it takes 4 years until the tree is ready, okay. But then we have to give back before we use it, because that's the mitzvah. From where else do we learn this? From where else do we learn to give back? As I mentioned before, from the relationship to parents. The relationship to parents. The Tana Devei Eliyahu, which is a midrash on the Torah, has a series of passages in the on the section of Kabedes Avicha V'Yasimecha, honor your parents, in which it says, if you remember, you could look up if you don't remember, okay? Well, maybe you can't see it now, because we need sunlight. Okay, but the bottom one on the right side is honor your parents. And what immediately follows is the series of the next few, which is don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, right? Don't bear false witness, and don't covet. Okay, so it says, well, you know what? Kaved is right next to all of these. Kaved is right next to all of these, and he explains how if a person doesn't take care of their parents or ignores their parents in older age, then in the case of lo tirtach, it's as if you've killed them. In the case of lo tinaf, the example is that if your spouse doesn't honor your parents, you basically committed adultery against your parents. Just think about that conceptually. If what is the idea of stealing? What's that? How is that connected to kabed? It's the idea that I mentioned before. If you don't honor your parents in their old age, when they don't have any more, it's as if you've stolen from them. They gave you so much, and you're not giving back? That's stealing. That's absolute stealing. And so it's just an important message in understanding and appreciating what honoring means. What honoring means is those who give unconditionally, I have to give back. And if God gives unconditionally, and whatever we have is presumably unconditionally, right? then we have to give back. And that is the point. How else do we honor God? We honor God through our intuition of knowing what's right. In the Yerushalmi in Peah, it tells us, based on two psukim describing Bezalel and describing Yehoshua, in both cases we're told that they did Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, where God commanded Moshe. But it doesn't say Es Kol Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Can you imagine? The Talmud Yerushalmi is going crazy about one word that's not even there. That it doesn't say that Bezalel did everything that Moshe told him, or that God had commanded Moshe, and that Yehoshua did everything that God had commanded Moshe. They did Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. And what that means, the Yerushalmi says, is that they intuited even the things that God did not tell Moshe. That sometimes, if you're in the zone, and you know how you're supposed to behave as a Jewish person, as a God-fearing person, as a person who's meant to honor God, then you just know what the right thing is. How many times I remember when I was living in Hollywood, Rabbi Davis was once telling the story about how somebody said to him, if I go to fill-in-the-blank kind of place, am I allowed to take off my yarmulke? Well, based on the Talmud we saw before, where it says you're supposed to have your head covered all the time. So Rabbi Davis's line was, if you think you should be taking off your yarmulke, maybe you shouldn't be going there. Okay, so that's an important point. Okay, but regardless, I think people were talking about going to the Hard Rock, which is, I don't know, whatever. Anyway, we can have that debate. But the point is that there's an intuition. There's an intuition that maybe this is not the right thing. And that intuition, when it came to Yehoshua, when it came to Bezalel, showed them how to do everything that you're supposed to do properly, even if it wasn't commanded to you, even if you weren't told, but you somehow know. Simply doing things, perhaps mitzvos, because they're the right thing to do, or not necessarily for the reward. The Yerushalmi in Peah has a great line. It says, "Tiltal HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan scharan shel osei mitzvos, kidei shiyu osin osan be'emuna." That God said, you know, I'm not going to tell you what the schar of most, what the reward for most mitzvos are. He said, you're just going to do them. You're just going to do them because you're a person of faith, a person of trust, a person who says, I want to do the right thing. And the example that is given there is one of the easiest mitzvos and one of the hardest mitzvos. Well, one of them we've been talking about, the hardest mitzvah. One of the hardest mitzvos is kibud avaim. And what's one of the easiest mitzvos? Goodbye, bird. That's it. Shiluach hakein. You send away the bird. And in both cases, the Torah says that what's the reward? The reward is arichat yamim. Lengthen days. Lengthen days. So if you look at these two kinds of mitzvos, you say, wait, they get the same reward? One's so easy, one's so difficult. How could they get the same reward? Well, the answer is, okay, so you have no idea what mitzvos are worth. Do them, because it's the right thing to do. And through that, you're honoring God. Another way which we can honor God is one which we do every day, and one which we make a little more of a business about on Shabbos, and that is through tefillah. There are a boatload of sources to talk about honoring God through tefillah, so I'm going to bring none of them, because I just want to make a couple of points which I think we all understand perhaps intuitively, and sometimes we need reminders. How do we honor God through tefillah? We honor God through taking tefillah seriously. How do we honor God through tefillah? Through showing up with regularity, or at least through davening with regularity. I mean, even showing up to shul is even better. Showing up to a minyan is even better. But having a regularity of tefillah. How do we honor God through tefillah? Through not having distractions. Through not having distractions. One of the things which we've been doing here in shul is before davening, we announce, get rid of your phone. Turn off your phone. But I'm sure this is the experience of many people. I know it's my experience. If I ever find myself in a different shul, you look around during any point in time during davening, even Shmoneh Esrei, though some people do use their phone for they have a sitter on it. Okay, but we'll leave that aside. But there are people on the phones. I see kids, teenagers, sometimes even adults playing games on their phones at various points of davening. It's a distraction. It's the wrong place. We have to train ourselves. During Shabbos, it's easy. We don't have our phone. But during the week, to just turn it off before you come in, or don't even bring it in. I mean, I don't know what another solution is, but it has to be automatic. And of course, another distraction of davening, which is the exact opposite of honoring God, is through carrying conversations which do not have any relevance to the davening. How else can we honor Hashem? We can honor Hashem through Kiddush Hashem. I mentioned what the Rambam said before, but we have the option to use our substance for good, to be channels of Kiddush Hashem. There is a Rebbe, right, through a commentary on some of the Pesukim towards the end of, on one of the Pesukim towards the end of Parshas Nitzavim, where Moshe says to the people, Lo davar reichu mikem. It's not, he's talking about the Torah. The Torah is not too difficult, or it's not too far from you. And he says, so what are mitzvos that a person can do, which is a positive use of our hon, of our substance? Talmud Torah, he says. Talmud Torah, it's not too difficult. Hui chayechem, it's your life. What's your life referring to? Well, the source of your life, which is the mitzvah of honoring your parents. Uvadavar hazeh ta'arichu yamim, and through this thing, he says, that's the quote from the pasuk, you will have lengthened days. What is this thing? Gemilus chasadim, doing loving acts of kindness. And al ha'adamah hazeh, on this land, he says, is the act of bringing shalom, bringing peace, bein adam l'chaveiro. All of these, and I'll just summarize them again. Torah study, honoring parents, doing gemilus chasadim, acts of kindness, and promoting peace between our fellow man. All of these are forms of honoring God. In that same passage, the exact opposite is given, how we could be channels of tremendous chil Hashem. And the ways that we could be channels of tremendous chil Hashem, which is not honoring God, are through the big three, the worst sins of murder, idolatry, and sexual immorality. And guess what the fourth one is? Lashon Hara. Okay, so that's the opposite of Kiddush Hashem, the opposite of honoring God, is through committing those four sins. Another example, or two examples, of how we can give through our true substance. This is from the Pesikta, which I mentioned before. It gives two examples. Fantastic examples, if we think about it. He says, can you imagine, what is a person's substance, the essence of a person? Some people define themselves based on how they look. He says, if a person is beautiful, you have the opportunity to do the worst kind of sins known. You know, consider the list that I just mentioned of the four big sins. So one of them is the sins of a sexual nature. He says, if a person is beautiful, they have, the whole world is their oyster in terms of what they could do. And he says, how do you honor God? If you are kabed yotzrecha, if you honor your creator, v'yarei imenu, and you fear him, because sehu benoi shenasan lecha kvod Hashem eonecha. You just praise, just sing God, thank you for making me the way that I am, but I'm not going to use my hon, my substance, for something which is bad. Or on the other side, a tremendous gift. Tremendous gift. He says, if a person has a beautiful voice, how can they utilize that voice? He says, the way that a person is supposed to utilize that voice is through tefillah, through praising God. If a person has an opportunity to lead the davening, for example, because they have such a beautiful voice, and they say, no, I'm not going to do it. There's actually tremendous criticism given to that person. You have an opportunity to glorify God through the way in which you lead the davening. You can inspire people. It is something that should be done. That's how you honor God. A couple of years ago, maybe all of you remember the story. There was a horse called American Pharaoh. Remember, won the Triple Crown. Okay, who owned that horse? A Jewish family that grew up in Egypt. And I remember before the horse won the race, there was a little bit of an uproar. Because the third race was going to be on Shabbos, and they are a religious family, and they had made a Shomer Shabbos family, and they had made a advanced preparation that they were going to have these fancy RVs. Obviously, they're a wealthy family in the parking lot at Belmont Racetrack in order to be present at the horse race. And I saw an interview on TV, and thank God for YouTube, I was able to find it because I wanted to quote the guy right, Ahmed Zayat. He said the following, and this was on national television. He said, quote, we have a value system. God comes first, then family, then all the others and everything else, including horse racing. Here's a guy whose horse is about to win the Triple Crown. And he says, we're not going to be mechalel Shabbos. We're not going to desecrate the Shabbos in order to be present. And you can argue whether you agree with him, whether you don't agree with him, whether he should have done this or not. But he was clearly showing that I'm honoring my Shabbos through not driving, and I'm going to be there. And why? Because God comes first. That you can agree or disagree. Most of the country doesn't understand what it means that a guy's not going to be driving on Shabbos, okay, or what Chilul Shabbos is. But he says we honor God first. What a Kiddush Hashem. What an amazing opportunity to say how I honor God, and that is my number one priority. I found that to be so uplifting. We honor God in honorable places. The Chizkuni records a story, I don't know where this came from, but the Chizkuni records a story on his commentary in Kabeid Savicha V'Yasimecha. It's a story between Rabbi Akiva and Tornus Rufus. It's an interesting history that Rabbi Akiva, this Roman, leader, Tornus Rufus had. They had a lot of different conversations about religion, about faith, etc. And in this particular conversation, Tornus Rufus asks Rabbi Akiva, he says, how come God's name appears in the first five of the Dibros, all in the right column, but not in the left side? Doesn't appear there. So Rabbi Akiva says to Tornus Rufus, he says, all right, let's go into your palace. Let's see, where do you keep your arms, your weapons? Where do you keep your armor? Where do you keep your royal crest? Where do you keep all these things? Ah, this one's in the grand room. This one's over here. This one's over here. This one's over here. And then Rabbi Akiva says, all right, let's go to your bathroom. Okay? Go to your bathroom. He says, hey, where's your royal insignia? Where's your royal everything? And Tornus Rufus says, no, it's not appropriate to put my very fancy royal stuff in this makom tinofes, in this place where it's just not appropriate. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, that's exactly right. Everything on the right side is bein adam lamakom. So of course it's between God and it's between man and your creator, which includes of course parents, between man and your creator. On the left side, it's people who go into the dirt. It's all the don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do these terrible, horrific things. So why would God's name be in there? That's not honoring God. Honoring God is through pleasant places. That's why we don't put a mezuzah on a bathroom. That's why we don't say brachos. That's why we don't daven in that kind of a place. Because God doesn't belong there. Honoring God is bringing glory to God in the right places. Finally, I said I was going to get back to this. Honoring God includes honoring parents first. Because this is how we learn to channel towards God. Tana de Be'el Yehu says, Kol zman she'adam mechabed es aviv v'es imo, ein chet bal yado. As long as a person can honor one's parents, the person cannot come to sin. Maybe because it's a focus. Maybe because it trains a person to recognize what's important in life. Maybe it's because a person develops gratitude. Maybe it's because a person says, this is where I'm going to put my attention, and therefore, how could I disrespect the fact that my parents brought me into this world, the fact that my parents gave me this life, the fact that my parents trained me in this way, the fact that my parents brought me up this way, to have a trust in God, because this is we all have the same responsibility to honor God. How could I ever come to sin? He says, a person should never say, Hoil avi shebashamayim mikdimani tchila. Since my Father in heaven really put me first, right? He's the one who created me first, if you think about it. I mean, my parents, maybe they raised me, maybe my mother gave birth to me, but honestly, without God making everything work in the way that it works, nothing's going to happen. I'm not going to exist. And so therefore, I'm going to do the will of my Father in heaven before I'm going to do my parents' will. He says, no, don't be a fool. Which comes first? Honor your parents. Only later, Shlomo HaMelech taught us in Mishlei that you honor God from your substance. What is your substance? Your substance is who you are. And what defines who you are as a person is everything that your parents put into you to make you who you are. So sometimes we have to remember, and I remember once, a number of years ago, I don't remember where I was, but it was in New York. I was in a shul where I had the opportunity to give a sermon, and I spoke about how if the care for one's parent gets in the way of a person's fulfillment of other mitzvos, that's okay. And there's a fellow in shul came over to me because he had an elderly father who was taking up a tremendous amount of his time. And he said, Rabbi, that was a tremendous source of comfort for me because I'm a shul guy. I like to go to shul, but too often I can't because of what I have to do. And that's what the Tana de Be'el Yehu is telling us. says, your parents come first. Don't ever think your parents that God comes before your parents. Because it's through the training from the parents that we learn how to honor God. Just to conclude that idea, I want to give you two final quotes about honoring parents from the Otzer Midrashim. Gadol kibud av ve'em, shekisho HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chvodo. So great is the honoring of parents, and what we learn from it, that God said, it's from there that you learn how to honor me. And the other one is, kol ha-mo'es b'kibud av ve'em, mo'es b'kavod shemayim, v'fi sheshlosh shutfim bo. Anybody who denigrates the honor that's due to one's parents is denigrating the honor that's due to the heaven because of the partners in creation. There's a parable to what it means to honor one's parents, which is also in the Tanakh of Elio. And it's a good message, especially for people whose parents are no longer alive. And remember, we can still honor parents even if the parents are no longer alive. The way we talk about them, the way we quote them, the way we honor their memory, all of this is kibud av ve'em, even if they're no longer here. And the Tanakh of Elio says the following. A person who honors one's parents when they are older, what's he compared to? To a king to whom the son of his friend comes to visit. And he says, the king says to this young guy, or this younger man, where are you coming from? And he says, I am coming from my parents' house. And the king says, how are your parents doing? And he says, they passed away. They passed away, b'shalom, l'beis olaman, in peace, everything was good, I took care of them properly. The king says to him, Bini, my son, tiye baruch, you should be praised, you should be blessed. Te'elecha koras ruach ba'olam, you should have a good feeling in this world. Shenasata menucha le'avicha le'imecha le'beis olamo, because you gave proper respect and therefore proper rest to your parents, that they went on their final journey with peace of mind. Achshav bo'u re'ei, now you should come and see. Kinazim tovim sheganzu l'cha etzli, the great treasures that they left for you in my care. Think about what the reward of kibud av ve'em is supposed to be, and that's what that parable is talking about. I want to finish with one last message, and then I'm going to summarize everything that was said up until now. There's a pasuk in Shmuel, in which Shmuel says, "Ki mechabdai achabed," and quoting God, basically, that those who honor me will be honored. And some people think, oh, you know, I'm part of the Jewish people, and therefore I believe in God, and therefore I'm honored as well. The Malbim says, no, that's not how it works. It's not about what camp we're in. It's about behavior. Hakavod shel ovdei Hashem einu inon mikri rak hashgachayi. It's based on what you do. Shemitzad sheim mechabdim osi kein achabed osam. If they actively go ahead and honor me, then I will honor them back. And the rest of the pasuk is uvozayi kalu, that those who denigrate me, those who degrade me, are, you know, they are lost. And so what the Malbim is essentially saying, that it's about action and behavior, and not about just being in a camp and identifying with a particular group. So to summarize what we have heard tonight, we learn kavod, we learn how to honor, from how we honor God for Shabbos and how we honor our parents. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to put on our best show. We aim to be good people. We try to be a kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name in our behavior, both in private and especially in public. We imitate God through being compassionate and merciful. We're ready to use our money, our home, and our tzvuah for good, whether to help the needy or to fulfill mitzvos in the nicest ways, Zekei Levi Anveilus, my God, and I will glorify him. Remember Munbaz, who used all of his money to give to the poor, and the field, the person who had the field, who was graced with gifts on account of the way that he did maaser properly, and don't be like the fellow who did not give maaser and lost everything. We honor God through paying back for the gifts he gave us, whether it's the child through circumcision, the house through the mezuzah and the ma'akeh, the yard through the building of a sukkah, the animals through the mitzvahs associated with them, the money which is given to us through tzedakah, as noted, which includes, of course, supporting Jewish causes, using our beauty, l'tov, for good, using our voice to serve God. We honor God through tefillah, through davening properly, and through prioritizing that kind of davening. And we also honor God through prioritizing God and Kiddush Hashem, like the example that I gave of the Zayat family and the Triple Crown. And we remember who the partners in creation are. Mother, Father, God. And as the Malbim says, we don't get honored just because we're part of the Jewish people. We are honored back by God because we have done our part in the service of God and through honoring God through the great gifts that He has given us and therefore the ability to honor Him in our lives. Thank you.